Ag Today presents your Purdue Extension, a podcast network. A podcast partnership between Purdue University Extension and Indiana's most listened to farm radio network, Hoosier Ag Today.
Welcome to 4-H4U, a podcast from the Hoosier Ag Today presents your Purdue Extension Podcast Network, where we connect you with the people, the programs, and opportunities helping Hoosier youth grow stronger every day. I'm your host, Greg Allen, and today we're talking about one of the most hands-on and heart-shaping parts of youth development, animal science in Indiana 4-H. You know, when most people think of 4-H, they picture show rings and county fairs. But animal science is about so much more than ribbons. It's about responsibility, leadership, and building confidence that lasts a lifetime. Today, we're going to explore how intentional investments are expanding livestock and animal science education, the wide variety of animal projects available, from beef cattle and sheep to rabbits, poultry, and even companion animals, and how youth who don't live on farms can still get involved. Joining me today is Indiana 4-H Animal Science Extension Specialist Courtney Steerwalt. Courtney, thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely. My pleasure to be here.
Okay, we're just going to jump right into it. First question, what exactly is an Animal Science Extension Specialist?
It's probably just a fancy title that they made, but in layman's terms, or my terms, as I would call it, is I am the person here at the Indiana State 4-H office who oversees the 4-H animal projects and works to ensure throughout the state that our volunteers and educators have the resources they need to be successful when working in animal-related topics in front of our most important audience, which is our youth, of course. So, and of course, we're housed here at the wonderful Purdue University, so I work alongside many extension specialists. Mine just happens to be animal science.
So I guess really it's a fancy title for cat wrangler.
You might say. I haven't had to do that yet, but cats. There could be a day.
So let's talk about intentional investments in livestock and animal science education. How is Indiana 4-H merging the two of those things?
So, you know, the most important part of 4-H experience is probably that hands-on development, no matter the topic, whether we're talking about cats or we're talking about cake decorating. It's preparing youth to be able to translate those skills into practical life skills. So we're doing that in various ways, but I really want to highlight on those hands-on ways, which would be through things like our workshops, our career development events, so judging contest, different opportunities aligning with that. We're also making huge strides in the quality assurance efforts here in the state. So that's really a big piece of what we're doing right now, is ensuring that all of our youth that are engaged in a meat or milk animal project are taking some type of livestock quality care programming. We have our own program we've invested here in the state into. And so we spent a lot of time over the past 4 years really making that a pride project.
So what types of animal projects are youth able to participate in through Indiana 4-H?
So there are lots of hands-on opportunities physically with the animal, as well as what we like to call static projects. So things that you may not have the space for an animal, or you may not have the opportunity to participate. But we have over 18 species that you can show and exhibit and be a part of, mostly at a county and state level basis. We also have some initiatives that might be unique just to particular counties. But then we are constantly looking for ways to keep youth, again, that maybe don't have access to projects in their home counties, engaged in the project. So we do have a few opportunities for a few species in which we allow leasing for. So that's really opened the gate for those youth that, you know, let's face it, not everybody has a farm at their fingertips anymore or access to that. And our goal is to provide access. So figuring out a way to get to yes is kind of my motto, and my role is finding a way for a youth that wants the experience, wants an animal project. How do we help them achieve that? And so, you know, that takes a lot of grit, effort, and working both at the local and state levels to figuring out what those access points look like.
18 different species. Okay. Yes. It would really impress me.
That's just at the state fair. There's actually okay. more than that.
Okay. Okay. So can you name all 18? Go.
Beef, sheep, swine, dairy goat, rabbit, poultry, pocket pets, ferrets, which include in pocket pets, horse and pony. Let's see, what else do we have? You really put me on the spot here. Pygmy goats. I'm going to forget one, and I'm not going to ever forgetting it. Beef cattle, dairy beef, cat, dog, llama.
That is impressive. I wasn't counting. I should have been counting.
I have a way that I rattle them through my brain. And so I totally did it out of order, though. So I think I screwed it up. But you get the sense that there's really an opportunity for a lot of youth that might not traditionally think of it. I mean,
sure.
I, for instance, never owned a pocket pet or a ferret, but I know that's something that a lot of youth have access to and can raise or have in town in their homes. And obviously cats and dogs are another large one that teach a lot of incredible skills to our youth. And that's truly what it's about, is those animals are just the teaching tool for the gateway of opportunities that will be presented to them through this program, and those skills that they learn through investing their time and efforts into them are ones that we hope that will translate throughout the rest of their lives.
Explain pocket pet. What is a
so pet? Gerbils, hamsters, like I said, ferrets. I rattled that one off. I may have a fear of ferrets, just to be completely transparent. They are an option that youth participate in, and I love that for them and their experience. So basically, that's what we can constitute a pocket pet. Rabbits have their own category, but sometimes you'll find rabbits in cavies in counties that might show in that if they're more of like a pet type animal.
Are there any kind of species that are an absolute no-no, or that you've never even really dealt with?
We would have to work with the Department of Natural Resources on some of our reptilian type species. Okay. We've had some questions on. I should mention we also allow like birds and pocket pets as well. Okay. But there are some like exotics that we might have to raise the level of questioning. But I haven't stumbled across any that shouldn't be where they're supposed to be yet. So that's a good thing.
So, Courtney, you have briefly touched on this, but let's get more into the weeds on, here's a for instance, my granddaughter loves goats. She lives in the city. There's no way in the world she could ever have a goat at home. How does that work?
So anytime that we have a youth that might be in the similar situation, which happens a lot. We have a lot of youth that the animals aren't housed at their premise, for instance, just because they can't keep them legally in town or whatever the case may be. The first step that I would encourage any youth in that situation to do is reach out to their local extension office. More than likely, there's probably a network of some sort or just a resource bank of information of producers perhaps in that community that could help that child and set up and, you know, get the ball rolling in a way that otherwise the youth might not have. But that's usually step one, is just making that connection and figuring out what that opportunity might look like. Now, if they were just interested in the species and want to get their feet wet in the topic and learn more, we might direct them more towards the static type project. So again, we have animal science programming, and by static, I mean that they're going to do, you know, a poster type opportunity or a presentation or some maybe individual studies dependent upon what it is. And that'll help them learn more about the species. maybe before they make the investment even. And then ultimately, you know, it's sort of what's cool about 4-H and what people don't always realize is it is about that individual experience. So what works for me might not work for you, Greg, and vice versa. So really taking that whole child approach and figuring out a way to make the best plan for that particular youth is really our goal.
That's really cool that that's incorporated in the entire 4-H network, that you have this pool of producers or people that are involved with animals that are more than willing to take on a youth and take somebody under their wing and show them, you know, what it's like and that sort of thing. I love that.
Yeah. Once it's in your blood, it doesn't tend to go away. So there are usually lots of willing folks that want to help a child have the experience similar to what they have.
We're talking with Courtney Steerwald, Indiana 4-H Animal Science Extension Specialist. And we got to take a short break here, Courtney. But when we come back, we're going to talk about how you can get involved, if you have interest in it, in the animals aspect of, what would you call it, the animal science wing of 4-H.
Yeah.
When we return, stand by.
Farming isn't just a job. It's the foundation of life. Farmers feed us, fuel our future, and pass down traditions built on hope and hard work. At Farm Credit Mid-America, we know farming is more than a profession. It's a legacy. That's why we stand shoulder to shoulder with farmers, offering agricultural loans, insurance, and education. Because we're not just here for farmers, we're owned by them. Farming matters, and we're proud to honor it every day.
We're back with 4-H for you. We're talking with Courtney Steerwald, the Indiana 4-H Animal Science Extension Specialist. And we were just talking about some wonderful opportunities for kids who may not have access to an experience like this, and how cool it is that you have just this network, this pool of producers that are willing and able to show these kids and connect them with that kind of experience. But what are some of the most impactful life skills that you see youth gain through animal projects and doing these things?
That's a great question. I think if you surveyed almost 10 out of 10 youth would say the number one skill that they gain is responsibility. And that is by and large very much true. But there are a lot of skills that I think youth don't realize because they're so busy in the moment focusing on. To me, it's the networking. I have made some very impactful relationships through opportunities, not only in this role, but as in my own 4-H experience that have translated immensely throughout my life. I think that's a big one that, again, you don't really realize until it's over. I think tenacity is another one, and just the ability to, work through challenges. You're not always going to win first. You're not always going to have the best program year or the best experience. Animals are completely unpredictable. So learning to care and work through those challenges, I think, is something that it's pretty next level to find anything in comparison. And just the practicality of you are focusing on bettering yourself through a project. And again, you're not realizing what you're doing until it's over, but just the whole kit and caboodle, if you will, of the experience and kind of encompassing that into a package that is going to just, again, translate through lots of areas in your life, whether you go on to the workforce immediately after school or you go on to a four-year degree or perhaps even beyond. Those skills are going to stick with you. Employers are going to see that 4-H experience on your resume, and you're marketable because of that, because that's an investment. It shows that you've committed yourself to a program, to an organization, and those skills are really, truly hard to find.
Do you have any personal testimonies or stories of memory that you can think of that you would care to share?
About my 4-H experience or just in general with youth or...
Yours, or maybe you had a hand in helping someone.
Yeah, so I have lots of stories, Greg, but I would say, you know, I was fortunate enough to grow up in a multi-generational 4-H family. My mom was a 4-H educator when I was very, very young. And so this is something that has just been second nature to me. I didn't always want to be a 4-H educator. I worked in animal health sales and decided that I really enjoyed helping people. And then that's when I kind of sat down and had a kind of an analysis, if you will, of what I wanted to do, and decided that extension was my calling. And here I am nearly 14 years later, and absolutely that is very much the truth. So there's that kind of personal story. But I think my biggest full circle moment is really seeing the fruits of my labor as an extension educator. I worked in Fountain County, Indiana. Love it. Love that community. Very, very special community. Hold it near and dear to my heart. But I had the opportunity to work with some phenomenal youth and families in that experience. And, you know, I was doing everything from career development type workshops to college readiness, readiness experiences. And I saw youth really blossom from just the moment they set foot in the program to when they went out and participated in that experience. And one of my, I won't claim her as my success story, but what's really cool is I actually get to work alongside one of my 4-H'ers here quite frequently, who's a livestock judging coach. And I helped coach her early on in her livestock judging experience. So to me, that's a really full circle moment. And that's really what 4-H is about, is being that caring adult as a volunteer, as an educator, finding youth, helping them grow and blossom and become who they are, and helping them figure that out along the way. I can't say any more true testimony to that experience.
I love it. You've alluded to this, and you know, I have been in the stock show world for many years now, and so I already know the answer to this, but I think it is so interesting to get others' perspectives on leadership roles. And you have talked a little bit about the skill set that these kids can learn and gain and glean. But how do animal science programs help prepare youth for leadership roles in their communities?
So I think first and foremost, again, there's something special about the kid that invests their time in a livestock project. Again, just being able to take on that responsibility, to put that into a pretty large portion of what they are focusing their life on at the time is a huge commitment. So I would say, you know, that's a leadership skill that's hard to find. Just that investment of time, the ability to manage the time that they're thinking of, the ability to communicate. I mean, you have to learn how to communicate both the challenges and successes that you're focusing on in your project. You have to be able to analyze and critique. So the problem solving skills that are involved in that, who wouldn't want a leader that can't problem solve or communicate? Those are huge, huge portions of what I would want in a leader, I believe, as well as someone that can just work with people that may not think like you or be like you, but the ability to adapt and, you know, be open-minded to different ideals, which you're going to be, again, in the 4-H program, you're going to meet different youth, but you're also going to be engaged in a project, and you might find one day that a judge doesn't like your animal as much as you do, and the ability to handle that critique and move forward in a positive manner based upon that. So being able to handle constructive criticism and defeat at the end of the day, those are skills that I think are immensely important in leadership, and again, why our youth go on to be leaders.
Commitment and dedication. You see it all in the programs that 4-H offers. And I believe, especially with animal science programs, for sure, it's just when you have the charge of taking care of a living thing, there's just something that escalates that learning process, I think.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, okay. Let's say somebody's listening right now or watching right now, and they're like, this sounds awesome. I want to get involved. Where do I go? What do I do?
So if you are interested in participating, and we would love to have you, the doors are always open and everyone is welcome. Please check out your local Purdue Extension office. You can do a quick Google search and make sure you specify your county. Although if for some reason you get backlog in Google Land and you need assistance with that, feel free to contact the state 4-H office and we'll be happy to direct you. But that's the best place to start. Take advantage of any opportunity that's presented with you, but your local extension office is willing and ready to help you get everything you need to be successful in an animal project.
Courtney Steerwald, thank you so much for joining me today. It has been a real pleasure.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Well, as we've heard today, animal science programs through Indiana 4-H are about much more than caring for animals. They're about building character, confidence, and future leaders. From learning responsibility during early morning chores to developing communication skills in the show ring, youth are gaining experiences that prepare them not just for careers in agriculture, but for leadership in really any field. Thanks for joining us for this episode, and we hope you'll be back next time as we continue sharing the stories and programs that help Indiana youth and communities thrive. That's it for 4-H4U. I'm Greg Allen. We'll see you down the road.